Hello, Paul.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Oh, all right. Sorry, I'm a little bit late calling you. There was an accident.
An accident?
When I was driving. Yes, not involving me. I am fine.
Well, I figured. This would be a very different call if it were.
Yeah, I would have still run home and gotten my recorder, though. I care that much.
Well, the people demand it.
But yeah, there was an accident. There was like fire and stuff.
Oh, I hope everybody's okay.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, well, I mean, I should say this. There was smoke. But as we all know, Ben,
where there's smoke,
there is also probably an accident. But yeah. So we have a suggestion.
We do.
For this show, yes.
What is it?
This is from Super Listener Kuban. Super Listener Kuban has provided us the majority of our audience suggestions, I believe, at a whopping 2.
Yeah.
Cords, cables, wires, etc.
Cords, cables, wires, etc.
And I think that both you and I have had these items impact us more than other people, perhaps, in their lives.
Well, I don't know. As you know, I'm no cable specialist.
But you use them all the time.
I do. In fact, I like to joke when I'm doing video shoots that 50% of the job is cable management.
It totally is. And as you know, for a little while, I was an apprentice for low voltage cable work.
That is correct.
It is true.
What you're saying is correct.
I thank you for your validation.
I validate
you. And let's see. So let's see. First of all, cords, cables, wires, etc. Is that what I said? I think
yeah.
That's what I said.
I looked at the tweets. Cords, cables, wires, etc.
So cords, as we know, are these all the same items? I guess that's what I'm asking. Do you consider these all the same items?
They're synonyms, yeah.
I think so too. But
they are used for different things. Like nobody ever says, "Can you hand me my phone charging wire?" Maybe if you're British,
that is true.
If you might say
maybe the wire is what's inside the jacket. Maybe they're making that distinction.
The wire makes the cord. Cords and cables, I think, are interchangeable.
Hmm. Unless...
Do you disagree with me,
unless
sir?
Unless it's something... I bet you there's something... Maybe a cord is braided, whereas a cable is a solid piece of things.
Mm.
I should know this.
Between
the two of us, I should be the one to know.
You were low-voltage technician.
I was mostly not good at it when I was doing it. So... That's an issue. So let's see. Let's see. How can we... So cable. Let's say... Okay, cables, right?
Yeah.
When you hear cable, though, lots of times now people think of cable as cable television.
Yeah. Right? And that's funny because when you unsubscribe from cable television, you are considered a cord cutter.
That is true. Yes. Although I would say that sometimes people might say I don't have cable,
yeah.
But what they really mean is premium channels. So they might say cable, but they might mean dish, or something of that nature.
Satellite TV. I think I still consider cable, even though there aren't as many cables.
So one of the things that happened when we moved into the house that we're renting, my wife called to have cable set up in the house, and there were the guy who showed up said, "Oh, well, we're gonna have to drill and put a new cable in." And she said, "Are you sure? Because I see cables all over the house." And he's like, "Yeah, but I don't know where those go." And so she was like, "I'm pretty sure that I can look around and find them." And he was like, "No, I'll just drill from the outside." And we figured out that it was either that he was dumb and couldn't figure it out, or was in a hurry and just wanted to drill it in and then go.
Yeah.
Because when you go down to the basement of this house, there is a place where, and I'm serious about this, like six cables come down from the ceiling into one spot.
Are they all the same time? And they're just
hanging there.
Like,
yeah,
they're all...
they're coax cables.
So they're all from the TV company.
Yes, exactly. Huh. And they're all right there.
Yeah. I mean...
But he didn't hook up any of those. He put in an entirely new cable.
Right. Because that way the cable company can charge you more for installation.
If we're in court right now because, for whatever reason, the person who rented us his house took us to court because they thought that we should have used those cables and we should have talked the cable company out of doing that. Hey, honey. Sorry. Hopefully we're still married.
You went off on a dark little tangent there.
Well, here's the... No, we have had issues in the past, my wife and I, with the things that I put online being at some point in time inappropriate. And normally, it's one of those things like... Well, I'll give you an example.
Give me an
example. I had a unique parenting moment where my daughter, who is, you know, many states away...
Currently.
Recorded her cousin... a video with her and her cousin in.
Yeah.
And put it online, right?
Your daughter put this online all by herself.
Put it online all by herself to her YouTube channel, which had at one time been private, but is now public. Again, not something that we did. And we had to give her consequences for it. And the consequences were that we made all of her videos private and she can't upload things anymore. Which, to a kid 20 years ago, you know, or, you know, 30 years ago, whatever, would have been, I can't do what now with the and the who? So, no social media for, you know, a week or whatever. It's crazy.
So, I'm not quite sure... I mean, I guess I don't need to know why this video was so bad, but why did her channel move?
Oh, no. It wasn't so... Okay, let me rephrase what I said.
Clear something up.
I said it wasn't... Go ahead.
Clear something up first. You said her YouTube channel, which, A of all, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that your daughter has her own YouTube channel.
Yes.
But also... You said it was private, but then it became public. How did it become public? Did she change the settings?
Well, that's what I thought happened. But as I was trying to investigate it, now you have a YouTube channel, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I couldn't find, when I was looking at it, I couldn't find a way to make the channel itself private. I saw a way to make the content private individually, but when I was looking at the channel, I couldn't find any settings that make the channel itself private.
Yeah, I think you're
right.
And
there used to be some.
There's not a... Was there a global setting to make every single video private?
At one point in time, there was a global setting that made it private. And if there wasn't, I believed that there was to the point that I swear that there was at one point in time.
So she basically just uploaded a video and did not make it private, made it public.
Right, and did not make it private. And here's the other thing. This is the big thing, right? This is where I took... Because we have a rule with her, right? Or we had. Now we don't because she can't upload things anymore. But we had a rule that you talk to the person that you're with and that person's parents and check with both of them to see if it's okay, right?
Right.
Before you upload it. And this wasn't... Keep in mind, this wasn't upload it publicly. This was just when it was private. You know, you still check and make sure and upload, you know, before you upload, make sure that everybody's cool with it.
It's only polite.
But in this case, she checked with, and this is what the argument I had with her about, well, not the argument, but what I said to her, which was she, from her own volition, what happened was she was recording this video, right? And then she was asked, is this going to be public? And then she said yes, right? And then then her cousin said, okay. And then she did some more things. And to her, that was agreement.
Ah.
Keep in mind, of course, my daughter is 10.
Right.
So she can't legally be doing, you know, making those decisions necessarily.
I think,
you know, as far as, but, oh, sorry.
The
only thing I was going to say is that what I tried to impress upon her, and this is for you and for our listeners, for anyone, if you're recording someone, and let's say when you're recording them, it's hooked up to a cable or a wire or what's the other part? A cord. You ask before you start recording, hey, is this going to be all right?
Right.
That is just nice, common decency.
If you're doing it with friends.
I talked over you. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I don't think 10-year-olds mm-hmm. should be able to upload anything to the internet.
No. And this is the point that my wife was making.
Regardless of whether or not it can be considered private.
Yes. Having her in charge of her own uploads is no bueno.
Sí.
So that is we could say nella boigare, not good, not very good. Nella boigare. I think that's how it is. Nella boigare, not good.
Is that Lithuanian?
You could even say it's blogas, which is bad.
Could say that, but I don't want to.
Yes. Say it with me, Ben. Blogos.
No. I'm not speaking any more of your devil tongue.
Haha. No. So, so there's that. The fun thing about cabling, Ben, is that...
Tell us a fun thing about cabling.
There is a thing. There's a fight that you may not know about. And that is technology, right, is changing for lights. And you do know some about this because you're involved in the theater. Ben, what is the type of lights that people want to have in their theater these days?
Well, the type of light people want to have in their theater these days are LEDs because they are cost effective and they are temperature-wise a lot cooler and
yes.
More versatile. Now, I'll tell you something about LEDs and why not everybody wants them. Even though they are mm-hmm. programmable, like you can have one light and you can have the spectrum of color. They are cheaper to run. They're not cheaper to buy, but they are cheaper to maintain and run.
Yes.
The color temperature is different. You don't get that
yes.
nice yellow warm glow that you do from traditional lamps.
That is true. And haha, you have used the correct term, Ben.
Lamps.
They aren't lights, they're lamps, technically. But here's the thing, right? That's in the theater world. Guess what? In the home lighting world, in the commercial lighting world, there is a move to go from regular lights to LEDs.
Or CFLs. Compact fluorescents.
What was that?
Or compact fluorescents.
Ah. Well, the reason I'm talking about LEDs is because there are two. The largest union, I guess, for electrical folks is divided right now into different categories. And two of those categories, you know, there are the people who work with electricity, like the big electric stuff.
Yeah.
And there are people that work with the low voltage electric stuff. And these LEDs would be low voltage stuff. Which means that a large chunk of the work would be moving from one group to the other group.
Ah.
And that causes some issues.
And that does. That takes jobs away from hardworking Americans and gives it to other hardworking Americans.
Other hardworking Americans. Or less working. Less hardworking.
Less hardworking. They're just as hardworking, but the work isn't as dangerous, and so it's not that cool.
Exactly. That is the issue, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the interesting things is the idea that And I don't want to get this wrong. And of course, the electricians who listen to this.
We wouldn't want to get anything wrong on this podcast.
Maybe Daniel Christensen. He's the electrician that I know.
Yeah.
They're trying to reclassify the lights that, you know, that were used to the Edison lights, the ones that, you know, give off that warm glow and all that, as heaters rather than lights.
As
which seems like a weird thing.
As what? As heaters?
As heaters. Because they do produce heat.
They do.
And so the idea would be that some of the requirements would be different for those types of lights, which then would allow you to reclassify them. I don't remember exactly how it works, Ben.
Well,
this is the part of the podcast where I talk about some obscure law thing that I don't know about.
Anyway,
no one cares.
The fact that you bring up LEDs versus heaters. Reminds me of an interesting anecdote that I heard about some town. I don't know where it was, but they decided to replace all of their stoplights with LEDs. So they took out the traditional bulbs and they put in LEDs, and they realized that it backfired on them when it snowed, because normally the heat from the light would melt the snow in front of it. But because the LEDs don't give off heat, the snow would pile up in front of the bulb and people could not see the stoplight.
That is correct. And I think that is where this whole heater thing comes from. I have one question, Ben. One small question. Do you remember where you heard about that?
I read an article online somewhere. I don't honestly remember where.
Because I believe you and I had that exact conversation.
Did we?
Another time.
Well, we've known each other for a while. It's not surprising that we've repeated conversations.
And here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It is quite possible that the whole thing about them being classified as heaters came from that very situation. That it would be that all of a sudden the rules about stoplights would be rewritten, and it would say that not only do they have to be lights, but they also have to be heaters.
Right.
Which would then give a big chunk of work back to the folks who do that kind of thing.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Hey, speaking about things that go in things.
Uh-oh.
Like wires. Of that sort.
Keep it clean.
The light rail station that goes to Capitol Hill in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
Now up and running.
It is up and running. It's been up and running for a couple of months now, I guess. They had a big celebration when they finally opened the station up there on Broadway.
Because I think when my wife went to a mutual friend of ours' wedding.
Oh, yeah. She probably took the light rail from the airport.
She took that light rail, yeah. So, which means that Big Bertha actually made it.
No.
To the place. No.
Different project. Big Bertha is tunneling the State Route 99 tunnel underneath downtown, which is for cars.
Oh.
The light rail tunnel was a completely different tunneling project. The TBMs.
I conflated those two tunnels together.
Yeah, you did. So Bertha is still tunneling. I think it's gone about a third of its distance, I want to say.
Mm. Because, you know, for a while, Bertha was shut down.
It was shut down for about 2 years, actually.
Yeah, and what happened in that way is that all the electricians who were working on that project got farmed out to other projects, which meant all of the people who were normally working the project that those folks would normally be working were out of work, which caused an issue.
Is that a thing in unions? A worker with seniority can push out another worker on any given job?
Oh, I wouldn't say that's the thing. It's not push out, really. I mean, in a case like this, jobs, you know, turn over a lot.
Supplant.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got off of one job, you know, and you've been waiting for a while, there's a line process. I don't know exactly how it works, but basically if you're in line, right?
Yeah.
You get the next job, basically.
Gotcha.
So let's say all these people get off of this one job. They get into the line, and then if you get laid off, well, you've got all these other guys in front of you now.
Yeah, well, basically, Bertha is tunneling again, and so all those electricians have flocked back to that project, restoring the balance.
So one
electricians
would hope.
Here in Seattle.
Yeah, I gotta say, bless the electricians. They are doing a crazy thing.
They are
moving electricity around as though it is water.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what, I mean, all the plumbing stuff that people did for water, that's kind of the same technique. People think about it. I mean, they move it around through pipes, through walls, same process, you know? So in a way, Ben, what is a pipe full of water if not a cable?
Well,
or a cord or a wire.
Both water and electricity each seek out the path of least resistance.
Yes. As do I, Ben.
I don't know, which is
why I've stopped talking about politics on Twitter completely. I actually went through and removed a lot of my political thoughts. I tried to remove all of them. I'm sure there are some.
Can I just say
they're still out there?
I'm really proud of myself for not saying I told you so, because I think we talked about your Twitter presence in the past, and you have a new one, and I didn't want to say to you that, oh, well, how long is this one going to last, you know, until you start falling into your old habits. And when I did see you posting all that political stuff, I'm like, well, he'll probably just delete this account again.
Yeah, I was going to, and I was like, nope, I'm going to delete all the political stuff, and I'm going to make a rule. No political things.
All right, so here's a question.
We'll see how that goes.
How long is that going to last?
Don't know.
Because we are getting ankle deep into this political process, and it's just rising.
Which is why I made the rule for myself. Because here's the thing. If I were to, you know, continue talking about all my political stuff, I would just get depressed and people would end up not liking me. Because, I mean, a lot of it is just me saying, y'all don't know what you're talking about. This is crazy time. Welcome to crazy time. Everything is insane here now. But I gotta say, I'm not going to get deep into it, Ben, I promise you. And I'm not going to look up any facts. I'm not going to do anything like that. This is all I'm going to say. And maybe we've talked about this, but I'm not sure. Politics is about compromise.
We have mentioned that in the past. Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of people saying, I'll go whatever you guys want. Fine. I'm all right with it.
It's
whatevs.
It's less and less about compromise these days. Like if you compromise, you're considered weak and no good.
Right. And the problem is that what's going to happen if you do that is that, I mean, people lose sight of the fact that I mean, really, and I don't know how else to say it, but politics in general, right, was at one point in time, somebody saying to someone else, hey, let's all poop over here. And someone else saying, well, no, because I live over here. And everyone else saying, okay, we'll give you some extra bananas if you let us poop over here. And them saying, okay. And then, you know, a week later going, it's not worth it.
These bananas.
I don't care how many bananas I get.
I can't eat these bananas fast enough.
This is no good. And everyone going, well, sorry, that's the deal we made. And that's the end of it. That's what politics is based on.
Well, then what happens
is based on
the guy who owns the poo grounds with all the bananas starts selling his bananas back to the rest of the populace, making so much money that he is able to move the Pooh Grounds to a better location for him. However, he is still being paid in bananas.
Yeah.
Because he's worked out a deal.
The big thing that... So instead of bananas, it's... you know, there's not enough food for everybody. Okay, well, I get the food, right? Well, no, but I would like some of the food also. Okay, well, here's the way it works. I get most of the food. You can get some of the food. But that guy doesn't get any food. And that guy who doesn't get any food says, "What's that?" And then they say, "Nothing. There's no food." Right? But then they figure it out. And eventually, this is the other part of politics. Everyone kind of gets used to the way things are.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're like, okay, well, like, and I'll give you a prime example. So you remember, we've talked about this, that it seemed pretty much early on that there was some sort of collusion in the Democratic primary process that made it so that Bernie Sanders was not going to win.
It seemed that way.
And I said to you, hey, it seems like this. And you're like, yeah, it sort of seems like that. And then lo and behold, you know, the emails come out and it's, oh, there was collusion, blah, blah, blah. And by that time, you may be different, but I was like, of course there was. I knew that already. It's not like it's going to change. You know, this is the thing is people are like, oh, these emails came out. And by that time, most of the people who were really up for voting for Bernie Sanders were like, yes, I know that this system is rigged. I guess I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton anyway. Okay, that's just the way things go.
Well, that's not how a lot of people are feeling.
Yeah, they aren't.
In fact, as we speak right now, I don't know when, but tonight Hillary Clinton is going to speak at the DNC. At the Democratic National Convention. And
yes,
I heard rumors of a big delegate walkout. Those delegates who were there to support Bernie are going to make a show of it.
Huh. Well, that'll be interesting to see.
And fortunately, I don't care either way because I'm not going to watch the convention. I really don't care what happens at the convention.
Well, I've been watching a whole bunch of Penny Dreadful lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed with it. Now, you and I have a mutual friend who was working on a project of his own called Penny Dreadful.
Yes, indeed.
And when he found out that there was a show called Penny Dreadful, he talked about how bad the show was. And, you know, being a friend of his, I kind of just took it at face value and was like, you know, and I like his aesthetic, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this show must be pretty bad. It's too bad.
And was it just sour grapes on his part?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know for sure. Because I don't know all of his aesthetic, right?
Yeah.
But I watched a couple of things of it, and I'm like, oh, this is... And here's the big one. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, right?
Yeah.
The book. Have you read it?
I have not read it, no.
The way that the monster is described... Right?
Okay.
In the book has never really been captured in film or TV for me.
Right? He's not a big green black-headed dude with bolts on his neck?
No. But the way that this guy looks in Penny Dreadful is pretty darn close to how I expected.
Did you see the Robert De Niro Frankenstein movie?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, was that any closer?
A little bit description? Closer.
I don't know how he's. I don't know how the monster is described in the book. So,
yeah.
Just
but
wondering.
Basically, I mean, did you see League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I did.
I mean, I read the comics and I really liked the comics.
Yeah.
I was not impressed as much with the film.
Yeah.
But imagine that film, right?
Yeah.
But it's NC-17 and the writing is better.
Is Penny Dreadful?
That's kind of the show.
Is Penny Dreadful on Amazon and Amazon Prime?
It is on Netflix right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to cancel my HBO Now subscription
over Sesame Street.
Over Sesame Street, but I couldn't cancel it, so I just stopped my renewal in anger. And eventually, on August 24th, I won't be a subscriber anymore. That's how strongly I feel. Because here's the thing, when they took over Sesame Street,
yeah,
right, I was like, well, that's fine, I get it.
Well,
you know, the premium folks will get it a little bit earlier than the other folks, and that's fine.
It's not.
But
you shouldn't blame HBO for things that they're doing. Blame public broadcasting. Blame PBS. They're the ones who had to give up Sesame Street. HBO is
I do not
savior
blame them
of Sesame Street.
I blame HBO. No, they weren't. Do you know why?
Why?
I was up for it. I thought the same thing as you until they fired Gordon, Ben.
They did fire Gordon and Bob.
They fired Gordon and Bob and Luis.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
that's it. That's the final straw for me. No, thank you.
They fired them from the TV show. I believe those three. I just like perused one of the articles that came out. Release them from the TV show, but those three actors are still acting as ambassadors for the show around the country.
Bah.
They were, so I don't know what the financial implication of that is. Like, are they being paid to go to whatever cons and represent Sesame Street? Because that's how everybody found out about them being fired, is because one of the actors was at a convention and mentioned it.
Yep. Well, and I'm sure that they're still getting residuals from when it's on and everything like that. But still, Ben, that's enough. That's enough for me.
You knew it was going to be retooled in some way. They took it from an hour show down to a half hour show. They're actually going to re-envision the show for a populace, a bunch of children that are more tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a very different Sesame Street. It might even be Sesame Street in name only. We might not even know what this show is going to look like. Aside from kids talking about issues with Muppets.
Did you see the New Electric Company when it came out?
I did not.
The New Electric Company, which was a PBS thing.
Hey, you guys.
Had a couple of pretty interesting people working on it. One of them was Reggie Watts, who you may know.
Yes, we both know him.
I believe you do.
Yeah.
Ben, you and I, of course, have appeared with Reggie Watts on several Spin the Bottle shows.
Yeah.
Not appeared with, I'm sorry, appeared hopefully before and sometimes after.
Yeah.
Whenever Reggie Watts would come to Spin the Bottle, you always wanted to go on before him. You never wanted to go on after
right
him. And
you don't want to have to follow that guy.
Right. Because he has always been consistently an A-plus talent. And then also a guy named Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Is he involved in the new? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I didn't know who he was until about before 6 months ago.
So, yeah, a pretty interesting group of folks.
And how was it?
Worked on that. So who knows?
Was it? I mean,
I liked it.
Was it the Electric Company in name only?
No, they had some of the same aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm eating some cantaloupe now, by the way.
Well, I was just chowing down on some Blue Diamond Almond Smokehouse flavor earlier. Oh my God, I can eat an entire thing of these.
I love the Blue Diamond Almond Smokehouse flavor myself, yeah, actually.
But you shouldn't.
You
shouldn't eat an entire thing all at once because it will do bad things to you. Parse it out. Eat a couple of handfuls at once, and then.
Well, you know what I like. I like
for a day.
I like the Smokehouse Almond Thins also, which are like the little crackers.
I don't know what those are.
Hmm. They're good. They're in the gluten-free section. most places.
I stay out of that section.
Which I am not gluten-free, Ben, as you know.
I'm pro-gluten.
I love me some gluten.
Yeah. Were you ever at any point gluten-free?
I feel like I'm bragging too much, but yeah, I can eat an entire just ball of flour and water and be fine.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
I haven't.
You should wait until it becomes a cake.
No, I've never. I eat many gluten-free products, but like everything, now, ever since Dinner in Hell, our wonderful Spin the Bottle sketch, I eat basically anything I want to.
Was that your breaking point?
Some things I don't want to. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
That was actually, like, a friend of ours was at that Spin the Bottle, and he says that was one of his favorite pieces he's ever seen us do.
Who was that? Who said that?
Todd. You know Todd?
Todd. Yeah. Todd
and Sandy.
Todd and Sandy. I was going to say Todd. I was going to say Adobe Todd, but he's not.
Yes, no longer. But anymore, at one point he was.
Yes. Todd and Sandy are great folks. They were very supportive of things and really fun to talk to also. And I hope that they at some point in time listen to this just to hear us say that they're nice people. But have we described this to people ever on this podcast?
Described what?
Because it's one of my favorites too. And the reason is because you remember...
Oh,
I talked to you about the concept of this actual bit like years and years before we actually did it.
Well, I don't remember that part.
Well, yeah. At the time when I pitched it, Jose Amador was going to be playing piano instead of Troy playing the drums.
Can he play piano?
I didn't care. At the time, the idea that I had was that it would just be like he would play just chords.
Yeah.
So it would be all right, well, unless he could play more, in which case he'd.
I can't play piano, and I played it.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the thing. And I don't remember why Jose Amador. I just thought that he would be so great.
Yeah.
Doing it, but okay. So, but this is what actually happened. So this is done before Spin the Bottle as the audience is filing in. And Ben is singing.
I'm standing at a keyboard and I'm wearing a boater sunglasses. And yeah, I'm singing just the chorus, just like a line from what song?
The Captain of Her Heart.
Captain of Her Heart.
I don't. Is that the name? Is that the name of the song? Even
I'd have to look that up.
But it's too long ago, too long apart. She couldn't wait another day for, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah,
the captain of. I don't know. I don't know. Can we? We can't get in trouble for that part, can we? Probably not.
No, I think we're good.
But so we'd sing. So and so he just sing that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was a vegan, pretty strong vegan, actually, very, very hugely vegan.
Very pro-vegan.
But for the purposes of this bit, I was served a steak. And how was the steak cooked? Where was it cooked? Was it cooked at Blair's house?
It was, yeah. At that time, she lived just down the street from Annex. And so we cooked two steaks that night before the show. And they were cooked, I think, pretty well done, maybe medium well.
Yeah. And so I just kept cutting the steak and chewing it and chewing it and chewing it and chewing it and swallowing it while Troy Lund, my friend Troy, is playing drums in the background and he's vamping. We wanted him to like point his drumstick at people, twirl the drumsticks around.
Discordant, not in time with the singing at all, very...
Yep.
Off on his own planet kind of drumming.
And he's great at that. You might remember Troy Lund as the Master in American Doctor Who number 3.
No, he wasn't the Master. He was a Damasta.
Oh, sorry. Damasta. That's right. So good. So this goes on for an excruciatingly long time.
It's probably between 20 and 30 minutes.
Because, I mean, you know, and so even though we're only allowed 5 minutes of showtime.
Three, actually.
Ben and I knew. Oh, 3 minutes? Really?
Well, at first it was only 3 minutes, but we never really adhered to that.
We kind of milked that, I think, yeah. A little. So we went through, you know, the amount of time needed. Normally, maybe a little extra, but for this thing, we knew it had to be excruciatingly long,
right?
Which is why we said, "Can we open the show?" So yeah. We opened the show with this. By the time I take my last bite of steak, people just—I mean, they've entered another state of consciousness at this point.
Yeah.
Because you think it should be over so long before it's actually over.
I was actually surprised how long it took you to finish. Oh, we also had Val Brunetto giving you timing cues to say like, okay, so the show's going to start in 10 minutes, so you have 10 minutes left to finish this steak. So you didn't finish it too early or too late.
And so, but the steak was well done enough that it wasn't that hard to vamp.
Yeah.
For real. I finished the steak. I get up. Everyone claps. Ben sits down.
Oh, and before
I get behind the keyboard.
Before that.
What's that?
We make a mark on a dry erase board. There's a dry erase board in the back with all these marks on it. And then
that's another one.
We switch hats and glasses, and then I sit down at the table, and you get behind the keyboard.
And I start singing. And as soon as I start singing, I would say probably half the audience.
Well,
maybe less, but it's
when you get behind the keyboard,
an audible.
Yeah,
yeah.
When you get behind the keyboard, Val brings another steak out to me. I take a big sigh. I start to dig into it. And like you were saying, there's this big audible groan from the audience.
At least two people shout no.
and then
blackout.
Yeah, the lights go down.
And, you know, the lights go down, Ben, because of a signal traveling down a wire or a cable or
a cord.
Hey, speaking of cords, I found out something cool about the mandolin, Ben.
Different types of cord. Discord. I used that word earlier.
The pattern, right?
Yeah.
And you would know this. There are like three types of chords, and they all kind of go together in a lot of songs. Sort of based on the circle of fifths. I don't know exactly how it works. But does that make sense at all, what I'm saying? That
music theory is something I never really grasped.
All right. Well, for those of you that do know something about music theory, I'm just going to name three chords, and then you at home can figure out, like, what three chords this would represent. But let's say, for example, this is just an example, not something that you necessarily, you know, need to take his gospel. I'm just giving an example. C, A minor, and F.
C, A minor, and F.
C, A minor, and F. If you alternate between those chords, you can play a lot of popular songs. They have some sort of relationship in music theory. If you're playing on a mandolin, you can make those three chords.
Yeah.
Moving your fingers just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Never moving it up and down the neck. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Those chords are also easy to play on the ukulele as well.
So all I have to say is good job, people who lay out musical instruments.
Good job, math, because music is basically math. And if you know any music theory, email us at benzemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Yes, please do. Oh, my cat is so cute. My cat does this thing called cat trap, where she lies on her back, and she kind of spreads her arms and legs out.
Inviting your hands to pet her belly.
Look at this wonderful belly that you can scratch on.
Yeah.
And if you try to do it, she just locks on with all of her claws and starts biting you.
Yeah.
So don't do it if you see her do that. We have this hypothesis, my wife and I, that there's only really one tuxedo cat, and it's our cat, Abby. And she just shows up at other people's houses all the time. Because sometimes I swear that I've let her outside, and I look, and she's inside the house. There are pictures of a tuxedo cat. They look just like my cat.
They're all fancied cats going to a party.
Hey, by the way, Ben.
Yes, Paul.
It's another edition of How Dare You?
How dare you? I love this segment.
With Ben Lawrence. Ben, have you seen the new Ghostbusters?
I have not.
How dare you?
I am seeing it on Sunday.
All right. Because I want to talk to you about it, but I can't talk to you about it until you see it.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk about it next week, actually, because I am seeing it on Sunday. If everything goes according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in Bellingham this weekend. A friend of mine who lives up there has a boat, and he's invited me to go out crabbing in the Sound on his boat. And by crabbing, it basically just means we head out on the water, we like drop anchor, drop a crab pot, drink a crap ton of beer, and then after a few hours, pull up the crab pot, no crabs, and then go back into shore.
Oh, well, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the name of one of the best sketch groups that I've ever seen who has at least one person that lives in Bellingham?
The Cody Rivers Show?
The Cody Rivers Show. Is that what it is?
I don't know. They're from Bellingham.
Is it two guys?
It is.
Basically two guys?
It is two guys. Well, I mean, that's saying a lot for sketch comedy groups.
No, usually it's a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's two, still... Okay.
So The Cody Rivers Show was a sketch group, a really great sketch group that was around. They no longer perform.
Neither of the guys were named Cody Rivers.
Neither
of
the guys
correct?
Were named Cody Rivers.
Okay, I think this is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. It's like Jethro
Did
Tull.
Did one of the guys have a ghillie suit that he got into at one point in time?
A what?
Did they have a thing about the outhouse and the... I'm trying to name some of their things without giving away any of the.
I don't remember any of the specific sketches that you may be referring to, but Andrew Connor and Mike Matthew, those were the two guys.
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
Are they still doing stuff, or are they done?
No, they're not. Andrew lives in Montana these days, and I'm not quite sure what Mike's up to. I know he got married. But I don't know if he lives in Bellingham, Seattle, or other.
I feel really lucky to have been in Seattle at the time when those guys were doing their stuff.
We actually, yeah, we performed with them at a late night sketch fest show called Push, the old Erickson Theater. Do you remember this one?
Where was it at?
It's when I first met them. It was at the Erickson Theater, just off Broadway.
Wait, I was there?
Yeah.
What did I do for that?
This was years ago. The piece we did, I think you crawl out you're in a body bag, but you're naked inside, and you start crawling out on stage, and this ominous music is playing, and I come out, I'm probably wearing the pig mask, I don't remember, with like a bat or a sledgehammer, and I just keep pounding the floor behind you.
Wow.
And that was the
bit. I don't
bit.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm almost getting it, I think. I think I'm almost...
One of our
more
obtuse pieces.
It was just one...
Pieces.
Was it one night only?
Yeah, it's one night only.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking I remember it. I have a vague recollection. And I'm not remembering the actual performance. I'm remembering the sound check. Because we did one, didn't we?
We probably did.
Yeah. Our sound checks, I gotta say, this is one of the other things that was great, because when we'd been doing it for so long,
yeah,
I'm not saying that we were like scientists or anything, but most people would do their sound checks and they'd go through their entire piece or whatever.
Yeah.
You and I would come out and we'd be like judging distance. We'd be like, well, would that be too dangerous? Or do you think we're good here? Yeah, I think we're good here. Okay, we'll come over here. And we'd be talking and just walking around the stage. And then eventually you, sometimes I, but normally you would go, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And we're going to do this. And either the person who's running sound and lights would be like, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Or else they'd be like, wait, what? And that's how we kind of knew where we were at as far as, yeah, you know, technology-wise goes.
We were...
The thing. But we were never that demanding, I don't think.
No.
I don't know. We'd have to have... We could have Mr. Hayes on and,
yeah,
and ask him.
We were pretty fortunate at Spin the Bottle to have Michael Hayes be the tech dude. So, yeah, we basically just...
Because that's the thing, is that when Michael Hayes is your tech guy... Nothing seems too demanding because he's like, okay, got it.
Yep. And then during the actual show, who knew what would happen?
Yeah, yeah. That's certainly not him. we got better at hitting our cues and stuff like that,
yeah,
eventually. But yeah, 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 it was good.
And we had this
good time.
We had
Ben.
This thing that we always told ourselves that we would pull out if anything bad happened. And one time we actually did have to do this. It was air ping pong. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Air ping pong, our piece that we would pull out if something bad happened.
Yeah.
And we thought it was great. I don't know how it went over that time.
It didn't. Nobody got it. Nobody understood what was going on.
But where if nothing works, if anything didn't work, we would just start going and just keep playing.
Yeah.
Air ping pong. Now, and what exactly was the situation? Do you remember?
Well, the funny thing is, we were doing a piece that was about the actor's nightmare.
Oh.
And quite poetically, during a piece about the actor's nightmare, a sound cue wasn't going when it should have been going, so we had to we played air ping pong to cover it.
So now our piece on the actor's nightmare, can you refresh my memory, what the was it our take on it? Was it a
I don't exactly,
it wasn't the Everybody Hates Improv one.
No,
because that was sort of a nightmare piece, but not,
yeah,
really.
This was one of those things where I think you walked out on stage wearing just a jockstrap, maybe?
Oh, that sounds like me.
And I don't remember what the dialogue was. I was, of course, fully clothed. I think I was even wearing a tie.
It's funny because I wear ties now all the time.
The bit was probably something. That has
and
to...
you wear a jockstrap all the time. How the tables have turned.
How the tables have turned. No, it's probably something like, Paul, what are you doing? Hey, man, I'm having a nightmare. Oh, yeah, what are you dreaming about? Oh, you know, the old actor's nightmare. No, Paul, this is real.
Oh, yeah. I remember this now.
Yeah.
I do. Kind of. It was, if I remember correctly, the big joke was that it wasn't that horrible. Maybe. I don't remember.
It
was no Naked Dead guy, I'll give you that.
You're putting a lot into it, saying that there actually is a joke in that piece. But yeah,
so,
it was no Naked Dead guy. Naked Dead guy, still one of my favorites.
I like it too. And God bless Chris McDonald, wherever he may be.
He's around here somewhere.
Yeah. He is, I mean, if I were going to, I'm serious about this. If there was a movie... And I needed a Naked Dead guy, I would call him. To explain, I think there were two other shows where he was a Naked Dead guy.
Yeah, for those
before this.
For those listening at home, the reason our piece Naked Dead Guy came about is because there was at least two, if not maybe three, plays where Chris McDonald played quite literally a Naked Dead guy.
And so we... wrote a piece that was just about him being a Naked Dead guy.
It was an office environment.
And it was great.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's right. And we couldn't get chairs, and so we were standing and typing.
Standing and typing.
Which now would hold up, because standing decks have become much more popular.
Yeah.
And you know the hard part about a standing desk, Ben? It's getting your cable to reach down to the floor where your computer is.
What?
Your cable. Your wire. Or your cord, Ben.
Your cord.
And that is the end of the day. But first, hey, Abby!
Shouting for Abby.
Calling for my cat. To see if...
see if she wants to play Danger Cat.
Oh, she just totally... she totally tried to get the microphone.
Hey, Abby. When do you get your family back?
Can you talk? I don't know, a week or two? Something like that?
Is that up in the air, or are they scheduled to come home at some point?
They're scheduled to come home sometime. I just am not... I'm not remembering.
Well, you should probably put that on your calendar so you can clean the house before they arrive.
Oh, man. There are so many things that I should do before they arrive that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
Cleaning the house is one of them.
All right.
But, yeah, so yeah, I dress up now.
Dress up?
I have a haircut now. If you don't know what I look like, please feel free to maybe find my Twitter account. Maybe. You will be able to do it.
Maybe being the operative word there.
Yes. So, thank you all for listening. Ben, is there anything you'd like to say before?
No, I think we're all done. I got nothing coming up. We showed a panel jumper episode at the Central Cinema last night before Howard the Duck. That was a lot of fun.
Oh wow! It was your Howard the Duck.
It was our Howard the Duck episode. So a bunch of friends came out to the Central Cinema, so I want to say thank you, friends, for coming out and supporting us. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, friends. And remember, if you're ever around in the St. Louis area and you would like me to say hello, that could happen. Let me know. Because sometimes people from Seattle come to St. Louis.
Indeed.
So, yeah. Find out. I'm here. All the time.
He's lonely.
Yes. Only a half hour away from St. Louis.
From the big city. Well, all right, dude. Good talking.
All right, man. Yeah. Thanks. And, you know, Ben, I appreciate these talks.
Indeed.
And as you can see, my voice has reverted back to its normal self. So
I wasn't going to say anything for fear of bringing that back.
Oh, no. We're fine.
Okay, good.
But, yeah, who knows? Maybe in the future something will happen again. I honestly still am not sure. Because I have this fear that what I was doing was actually reverting back to a voice I had before the other voice, before I went to Canada.
Yeah.
So when I went to Canada, I lost my accent, my Midwest accent. Maybe I never had one. Who can say?
Well, no. You didn't lose your Midwest accent. You didn't have an accent. You just gained a Canadian one.
It's an interesting process, Ben.
And actually, technically, it's not an accent. It's a dialect.
You're technically a dialect. What? Hey! All right. Thanks, Ben. I will talk to you more later.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Now I just gotta... let's see. Hold on. Oh, well, that's why. I'm looking at my phone. This is a different machine entirely.
How do I turn this off?
Wait, hold on. Did I... oh. No, that's still going.
That's how we do it.
Oh, wait. There's a...